Let me just get situated here. All right. All right, we're going to attempt to close off chapter 4 of the 5 chapters in the book of 1 Peter. And let me just get this up here. There we go. Is that all right? Perfect. Okay, so we have been running through 1 Peter, and we're at the end of the 4th chapter. And last week, we touched on that everybody has a gift. Do you believe that? No, brother. Yes, you have a gift. Everybody has a gift, and it is to be used to serve the church and others around you. Amen? Right? We all have gifts. And as we talked about last week, often our gifts don't follow our natural abilities, our natural giftedness, if you will, right? And so it's a spiritual gift. Some have the gift of hospitality. Some have the gift of speaking in tongues. Some have the gift of prophecy. Some have the gift of apostleship. And we'll have to go through that book one of these days as well. But each of you has a gift that God has for you. That's why for me, as I've been able and blessed to travel around, it's so important that I get to share Jesus with somebody, because when they receive Christ, they may have the gift of something that somebody else needs. Amen? And they'll only be able to hear it from them because of their gifting. And so I encouraged you as a church that I hope everybody here knows what their gift is. And it's not rocket science. You can figure it out. And I know some of you have this face like, oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. I really don't know what my gift is. But you do. God has a gift for each of you. And I promise you. And if you want help discovering it, come and book a meeting with me. We'll talk about it together. Okay? It's important to use our gifts for those around you. And I promise you, you do have a gift. And we talked about speak as one who speaks the very words of God. That's what Peter says in chapter 4. Speak as one who speaks the very words of God. Now, that can seem intimidating to us, right? Well, how do I know it's from God? Is it from God? Is it from the enemy? Did I just make it up in my own mind? And so remember, we talked about two kinds of people who deal with sheep. Remember, the shepherd and the butcher, right? The butcher's voice is harsh, it's condemning, it's loud, right? It'll bring you guilt, it'll bring anxiety, it'll be depression, it'll bring you bondage, and ultimately bring you death. That's what the butcher does. But the shepherd's voice, it's light, it's soft, it's gentle, it'll bring a lift in your spirit, right? And so the ultimate litmus test. So we talked about that, where Peter's so bold to say, speak as though you are speaking the very words of God. And that can intimidate some of us, but don't be intimidated. Because remember in John 10, he says, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And people read that and they're like, I'm not sure. Right? Oh no, what if I don't know his voice? Am I in the sheep pen or not? Right? We can get stressed about that. But as you spend time with the Lord, you will hear that gentle, quiet voice. And sometimes not so gentle, because he's trying to get your attention, right? He'll speak with brevity. All right. And then he says, serve with the strength that God provides, right? So when we're serving, when we're using our gifts, we don't want to do it in our own strength, right? Our strength is limited, is it not? Right? Our strength comes to a point. But his strength is eternal. It's ever flowing. And so we want to serve in that. Because any of you ever been in that place where, like, you got to go do something, you got to go serve, and you feel done, right? We've all been in that place, right? And you just feel done. That's because our strength comes to a point, right? His doesn't. His strength is eternal. It goes on and on and on. And so as believers, we want to learn to tap into the Spirit of God that lives within us, because that's the true strength we need. And then you can serve, amen? right? Then you can truly serve because you're serving with the strength that he provides. So Peter reminds us, when you're serving, serve with the strength that God provides you, that he provides. Okay, so I want to pick up at verse 12. That's kind of where we ended. And so on verse 11. So we're going to pick up 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And so let's just read that here. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Right? So what's going on here is like, what's going on? Right? We're being insulted. We're being slandered. We're being marginalized by society. They want to get rid of us. They're torturing us. They're killing us. And Peter's saying, don't be surprised. It's kind of a funny thing to say, really, if you think about it, right? Don't be surprised at that. That's normal. Because those who follow Christ, his life led to what? It ended in death on a cross, right? And they hated him, didn't they? Lots of them did. Lots loved him, but they also hated him too. So Peter's saying, don't be surprised if you're going through a fiery ordeal, a trial, a tribulation, a hardship. Peter's saying they're going to come. Hardships come. And who here has been through hardships before? Right? We all have. Right? We all have. So to me, it's something that we learn from Peter. What did we learn from Peter that we didn't learn from Judas? They both followed Jesus. They're both one of his close friends. They're both one of the 12 disciples. So what did we learn about Peter? Because Peter messed up and he moved on. Judas messed up and he killed himself. So what did we learn from Peter that we never learned from Judas? Right? He sold Jesus out for 30 silver coins. Right? Peter denied Jesus 3 times before the rooster crowed the next morning as Jesus is on his way to the crucifixion. But Peter continued, and Judas never. You know, in Christianity, we have doctrines for a lot of things. But I wonder if we have a doctrine of failure. Because if you don't have a doctrine of failure, there's one big problem with that. We all fail, right? Right? We all fail. So if you don't have a doctrine of failure, when it comes, it'll wipe you out. Peter failed, but he moved on. Judas failed and he killed himself. We have to be prepared and understand that fiery ordeals, hardships, trials, and tribulations, hurts are part of life. And I don't like saying that. Because I don't like them, right? None of us like them. They can be very difficult to go through. So as I go through the message today, be listening for Peter says, how do we deal with that? Okay, so pay close attention because I don't want anybody to miss. How do we deal with that then? But he says, don't be surprised. Fiery ordeals will come your way. Hardships will come your way. Suffering will come your way. Dear friends, do not be surprised at this fiery deal that has come on you. To what? To test you. It will test you as though something strange were happening to you. Well, here's the issue. If we're not prepared for it, then it's going to wipe us right out. It will. How many of us have been wiped out by trials and tribulations have you gone through? You spelled right out, right? And your mind gets thinking on it, right? And you don't see God in it. And if you don't see God in it, if you don't capture that lie, right, then it'll bring you, I call it to the mountain, right, and the drop off, right? And once you drop off that mountain, you can't stop it, right? Because it hit your emotions. And your emotions, you can't jump off of them, can you? Right? Emotions have to bleed off. They have to fade off. Right? But you can jump around in your thoughts. So that's why we want to hold every thought captive. Because once it hits your emotions, then we spiral out. And then we're done for, right? And those emotions have to fade off. They have to bleed off. When I ran into a bear when I was doing oil patch work, right? and we had a standoff for about 20 minutes. Did I walk away right away whistling Dixie? What a friend I have in Jesus. No, I didn't. My heart was panicked. My emotions were just up. I could not jump off of them. They had to fade off. They had to bleed off. That's why the scriptures talk about the thought a lot. Renew your mind. Hold every thought captive. Because if we catch it at the thought, it won't stir those lying emotions. Amen? So we have to catch it at the thought. We have to have a doctrine of failure. Do not be surprised when fiery ordeals come your way. It will test you. Right? It will test you to see where your maturity in the Lord is at. Amen? Right? That's what they do. Hardships will test where you're at in your walk with the Lord. It will either show your maturity or your lack of maturity. Again, one of the questions we ask when we're going through these fiery ordeals is why? Anybody ever ask that to the Lord? Why, God? Or why me? Why me, Lord? We even single it off to me, like nobody else in the world goes through stuff. But why me? Why me, Lord? And you know what? I've made a decision in my life to say that why is a divine prerogative. I don't understand why. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. It's a divine prerogative to ask why. But what I'm asked to do is to trust him. Amen? That is our response. Why, I believe, is a divine prerogative. But we'll ask it. It's part of going through the motions of it, right? Amen? We will. But some things we would just won't understand, or we won't understand right now. We have to wait for a period of time. Divine prerogative is when we ask that question why. It's a divine prerogative. All right. Our grumbling and complaining just shows a lack of our maturity. Even scriptures, how much does it talk about? Stop your grumbling and complaining, right? I'm with you. I have given you everything you need to live life and for godliness. Amen? Is he enough or isn't he? Isn't he? Right? He's enough. He's enough for us. So let's see what he picks up. Let's see in the next verse. So, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Don't think it's strange. It's going to come. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. So Peter is saying, instead of being surprised, I want you to rejoice. Huh. Has anybody actually ever done that? In the midst of your suffering, your hurt and your pain, right? People marginalizing you, people insulting you, people hurling all kinds of evils at you. Has anybody stopped and just, hey, God, thanks. Thanks for this. Do you remember what Paul and Silas did in the jail? Right? They're in jail. They're cuffed down. Right? I remember this. Do you remember in children's ministry, you used to have those felt boards with the pictures of the people that you can put on it? And I still to this day, I can picture Paul and Silas on that felt board. Right? And they're singing praises. Right? They're singing praises. They're rejoicing. Even though they're in the midst of jail. Because they had a God. Your focus has to be on the Lord when you're going through your trials and your hardships. If you do not fix your eyes on Jesus, you will fix your eyes on the problem. And if you fix your eyes on the problem, it'll get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger till you can't see anything but the problem. And you won't be able to enjoy walks with your friends, with your wife, your husband. You won't be able to enjoy the beautiful day outside. You can't see anything because you allowed that problem to consume you because you thought Scripture said, fix your eyes on the problem. When it did not. Amen? Fix your eyes on me. Right? We must get our focus on the Lord in the midst of the trials and the suffering and the pain we go through. That, if you do, then you'll be able to rejoice. I promise you, where fear is, rejoicing isn't. Right? If you're focused on fear, you cannot rejoice. But if you're focused on the Lord, you can rejoice. Right? Isn't that the truth? right? So we want to fix our eyes on him so we can rejoice. He says to rejoice instead of being surprised by the fiery ordeals. Why? So that you may be overjoyed. You may be, he didn't just say joy. You may be what? Overjoyed. Let's say it together. One, two, three. Yeah, you'll be overjoyed, right? It's more than joy, Peter's saying. You'll be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Why? Because the spirit of glory rests upon you. And I want to read that in the next verse. Listen to this. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Isn't that an interesting verse? Peter's saying some really interesting things here, right? He's saying some very interesting things, right? It rests on you. Oh, my goodness. This is not cooperating. There we go. Okay. Instead of being surprised, rejoice. Why? Because when his glory is revealed, you will be overjoyed because you stood firm through the insults and the fiery deals life dished out to you. Anybody ever been through that hard time, right? And you actually stood firm, right? And you got through it? Is there not joy on the other side of that? Right? There is. Now, I remember a friend of mine telling me a story about his son. And his son, he decided before work he had to change his oil because it was so black. And so he came outside. He was a counselor. And my buddy was off. He had a full day of counseling. And his son was underneath his Jeep. He's like, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm going to change the oil. It's black. I need to change it. And so he was gone for 14 hours that day. He comes home, and he sees legs sticking out from underneath the Jeep still. And so he's like, son, is that you? He says, yes, it's me. He says, what are you doing? Did you not make it to work? He says, no. I said, well, what happened? He says, I can't get the oil filter off. I've been fighting this thing all day. He said, well, why didn't you just do it later? He said, I already drained the oil. I couldn't drive it. And I've been fighting this thing all day, and I've tried you have 10 different tools to take filters off. You think one of them would work? Not a single one worked. And so he said, well, son, there's only one way to deal with a filter like that. You get that big screwdriver and that mini sledge, and you drive it in the back of that filter, and you just wrench that thing off. It's the only way to get it off. And so he did. He got the screwdriver and that mini sledge, and he hammered the back of that oil filter, right? And then he came out, and you could tell he hit oil. He had oil all over him. But my friend said, I didn't see oil. All I saw was his white teeth smiling, holding that filter, because he'd been fighting it for 14 hours, and he finally won, right? There is joy on the other side of our hardship, isn't there? If we would hold firm, if we would stand firm, trusting that God is at his work and his timing is perfect. But oh, isn't it so hard when you're in the midst of it, right? And that's why we need each other as a church, don't we? We need to come alongside one another in those trials and those hardships to encourage one another along, right? Just like Job's friends didn't do for him. Right? Remember the book of Job? His friends weren't the greatest help. We want to be good help to each other, right? To encourage one another, to keep our eyes on the Lord. And as you do, there is rejoicing on the other side. Okay, verse 14 we read. If you are insulted, what did he say in verse 14? Let's read it again. Right here, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit and glory and God rests on you. Anybody here been insulted because you've been a believer? Anybody? Right? It happens. Right? It happens. Lots of people in this town decided to give me the nickname preacher. Most people, I think there's a lot of them, they don't even know my first name. Right? And as I've been in that environment, I've had a few of them come and insult me for what I believe in, right? But honestly, there's kind of a proudness in that too, though, right? Right? Because if I need something from them, it's really going to hurt me, right? Right? But if I receive everything from the Lord, then I don't need anything from man, do I? I don't need their praises, right? Isn't that how that works? Remember when Jesus said, I don't live for men's praises. I live for my Father. I don't need praise from men. I know that my Father loves me, right? It's how Jesus, remember, he started his ministry when he got baptized. A voice came from heaven saying, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Jesus knew his identity right when he started his ministry. I am the Son of God. He loves me, and he's pleased with me. If you live from that identity, don't you think you'd be safe from the insults of others? Right? Because you would say what Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Right? They just don't know. And if you live in that place with the Lord, you'll have compassion on people. You'll have compassion because you won't see the nasty act they're doing towards you, right? You'll see the lack of understanding that they have. And then you may even go deeper. Then you might look at how they had to grow up. And maybe if you had to grow up in the home they had, maybe you wouldn't fare as well as they're doing. Maybe they're doing really well. Amen? You see how important this is? We must keep our attention on Christ. If you stand firm, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. Amen. Right? You're blessed. Jesus, isn't he the king of the upside down kingdom? Because the world wouldn't say that, would it? Everything he says is upside down to the world. Right? He's king of the upside down kingdom. It looks upside down to the world. Be blessed if people are insulting you. The Spirit of glory and God rests on you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Isn't that an interesting thing? You stand up under that trial, and he says that the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. How cool is that? Anybody here want that? Yeah, that's what we want, right? But it'll only happen as we stand firm. Okay. Now, did anybody watch the Four Nations Cup? Anybody watch that? And anyways, it was basically Canada versus three other nations, right? And the Canada-US, it was a hard-fought battle, right? And they battled and they battled and they battled and they battled, right? And they stood firm. And did you see the joy on their faces when they won? Did any of you in your homes who love hockey experience that joy, right? I mean, my brother and I, we yelled so loud, we lost our voices after. And our wives are both looking at us like, you guys are idiots, right? But it was exciting. It was exciting, right? They fought and they fought. They stood firm. They hung on through, right? And there's that joy on the other side of it. Amen? There is. There is joy on the other side of it. Wait for the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Shall renew their strength. Okay, verse 15. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. So don't suffer for those things, he said. However, verse 16, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Peter's saying, if you're going to suffer, don't suffer for the world. Don't suffer doing these things that the world can, well, even the enemy can get you doing, right? So he gives a huge list here. He says, do not do it as a murderer. Okay, check. Or don't do it as a thief. Don't do it as a criminal, right? Or even as a meddler. If you're going to suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Amen. It is a privilege to bear the name of Christ, is it not? It is. It's a privilege. We need to see it as a privilege that we bear the name of Jesus. We get to bear that name, everything that he's done and everything that he continues to do for us. Right? We want to bear that name and recognize that it is a privilege to bear it. If you're going to suffer, suffer for something that has an eternal reward. Listen to this. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Right? Let me read that again. It's time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And then in verse 18, if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? That's coming from Proverbs 11. And let me just read that for you. Proverbs 11, verse 31. If you want to mark it down, and here's what it says. If the righteous receive their due on earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? Did you hear that? If the righteous receive their due on earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner are going to receive their due? So Peter says here, if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what would become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, here it is. Those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. There is Peter's answer to this whole thing on dealing with fiery ordeals and hardships in your life. So then, at the end of the day, what will we do with all this suffering and hurt? What do we do with it? How do we handle it? How do we deal with it? How do we get through life when everything feels like it's raining down on us? Have you had those days where you feel like all hell is breaking loose in your life? Your world is totally caving in on you. You don't even want to get out of bed, right? Many of us have had those days. And how do we deal with it? And here's the key, what Peter says at the end of this chapter. He said, so then, so something is coming. So he wrote all about this suffering, all about these hardships, all about these fiery ordeals. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. What do we do at the end of it? You commit yourself to the Lord. That's our response to our hardships and our sufferings. You fix your eyes on Him. You keep your eyes on Him. Don't the enemy will want you to keep you on the problem, right? We have the problem here, your fiery ordeal, and you got Christ over here. And He wants you to look over here because He knows if you see this, you can't see this, right? And now the problem has eclipsed the sun, right? S-O-N, right? And as long as you see the problem, you can't see the sun. It'll get dark awful quick. You want to keep your eyes on Christ so it eclipses the problem, amen? And as you fix your eyes on Him, the problem will seem smaller and smaller and smaller as you continue to fix your eyes on Him. Commit yourself, Peter says, to your faithful Creator. He's faithful, amen? Right? On three, let's say faithful Creator. One, two, three. Creator, amen. He is faithful. Commit yourself to the one who's faithful. He won't let you down, right? So Peter mentions this twice because remember, we talked about it in chapter 2. Remember this? When chapter 2, verse 23, when they hurled their insults at Jesus, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He didn't make threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. So Peter makes this point twice, right? And he refers to Jesus. Right? When He suffered, He didn't make any threats. He didn't make any threats against God or man. Right? Because we can do both, right? We can get angry at man and we can get angry at God. But Jesus didn't make threats or retaliate against God or man. When He suffered, He made no threats against God or man. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. Amen. Do we got that? Okay, there's the key thing we need to hear. Write it down. I want you to ponder on that this week. As you're going through a fiery ordeal, and everybody's fiery ordeal looks different. God doesn't scale 1 to 10. Oh, you're at a 10, right? It's different for everybody, and it's relative to each person's own situation. But Peter's telling us, here's how we deal with hardships. Here's how we deal with hurts. Here's how we deal with people insulting us, marginalizing us, slandering us. You commit yourself to your faithful Creator. You entrust yourself to Him who judges justly. Amen? That is how we deal with hardships. Because if you don't, you're going to blow out pretty quick, I promise you. And then you'll get yourself into all kinds of trouble. And your emotions are going to stir, and then they're going to lie to you. Now you have lying thoughts and lying emotions. And they're just going to lie to you. And we spiral out, and the enemy has you where he wants you. So it is so important to keep our mind and our hearts and our eyes on Christ. Amen? We want to walk with Him moment by moment by moment, abiding in Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank You. Thank You for Your truth that does set us free. And Lord, I know that if each one of us, no matter what situation we're going through, no matter what hardship, Lord, if we keep our eyes on You, we will stay the path. Peace will come because You promise, right? Because we know we have a faithful Creator. We know we have a just judge in You, Father. We believe that. We proclaim that. We will testify about that. We need You. And so, Lord, I pray for those who are going through hardships. Each person, each family, whatever it is, God, I lift them up to You right now. And God, I ask that You would draw their heart and their eyes and their mind to You to see that You are faithful and that You're just. And that Your will accomplish something, Lord. And it always is about to bring about Your love and Your kindness and Your goodness. So, Lord, help us to see that. Because, Lord, when we're in the midst of trials, it's so hard to see. It is so difficult to see. So would You help us, Lord? Just as that one man said to You, Jesus, Lord, I do believe, but would You help me in my unbelief? God, would You help us when we doubt? Would You help us when we're going through hardships and we're doubting? We need that too. Lord, this week, may You just pound this truth. Lord, when we're going through it, it's probably not the best time to ask why. It's the best time to trust that You're doing something we cannot see. So would You be with my family, with my brothers and sisters, Lord? Would You pound this into all of us, God? May that truth just go so deep into us that as we're going through it, Lord, we are reminded our immediate thought is to look to You, to rejoice. And we can only do that if our eyes are on You. Thank You, Jesus. We pray this in Your name, in Your wonderful, most holy, most awesome and great name, the name of Jesus Christ. In that name we pray, all God's people said, amen. It's good news, yes? That's what gospel means, good news. It is good news, even in the midst of hardships. All right, we'll see you guys next week, and we're on the last chapter of 1 Peter chapter 5. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.